What up, fam? On this episode of Snapback Sports Pod, COVID is running rampant in the NFL and the NBA too. That doesn't stop us, though, from a Chargers-Chiefs underdog people's pick'em. Let's cash out. We also preview some other highlighted games in Week 15 before chatting about Stephen Curry breaking the record, Kevin Durant going absolutely nuts in the real basketball world and on Twitter, and a surprise signing on National Signing Day.
Snapback fam, new app.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. He's on all year, every year.
Jackson takes it himself.
Oh, he broke his ankle.
A blast. Oh, blocked by James.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
For the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
Bryant with the jumper.
What up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settleman. Joining me today, and as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, what is on your mind today?
Oh, do I have a story for you, Jack. So I just started a new job. A lot of people know that. And today was supposed to be the holiday party in person. And for those of you who are not in the workforce yet, a holiday party might seem kind of boring to you, a company holiday party, but they're actually pretty fun. People get to know each other. There's good food, drinks, games, etc. A couple people got COVID because that's just the world we're living in, and they moved it to a virtual holiday party. That's right. A holiday party on Zoom. They brought in like a third party provider and played like games and stuff.
Wow.
But when I told you I had a virtual holiday party, what did you say back to me?
I said, that sucks.
No, it was fun. You know why it was fun? Because there was this like three-part trivia game. Like, it consisted of, you were broken into teams and you played three different games. You're awarded points for different ones. The first one was like a Family Feud type game. The second was like a word scrambler. You get a bunch of letters, make as many words as possible. And the third was like this long trivia game. My team won. And I was the I typed in the answers for us. I was the scribe, and I'm really hyped, right? We won. It was a lot of fun. And they announce what the prize is for the winning team. And they go, the winning team is actually to get $500.
Whoa.
So my face just opens wide, long pause, to the charity of their choice.
Oh.
Now, listen, I love charity and all, but don't dangle that in front of my face thinking I'm about a cake from this game of trivia at this virtual holiday party. I love charity. We're going to give it to a good charity, and I'm happy we are. But for a split second, I thought I was rich. And I've started this job a week ago, and they were just throwing half a grand at me because I can answer.
Half a grand. That is a saying for sure. Half a grand.
Because I can answer. I mean, it sounds way better than $500.
Oh, for sure. Did you see the other amazing charity story from this week's news, the Buffalo Bills?
No.
Bills Mafia, they are an incredible bunch. You may remember.
Nice group of people.
When they gave thousands of dollars to Andy Dalton's charity when he threw the touchdown against the Ravens to get them into the playoffs for the first time in a while. This past week, they donated $18,000+ to a charity that supports essentially the blind in honor of the referees from Sunday's game. So, you know,
What did they miss?
Oh, you didn't see all the, like, the pass interference and the holdings?
I was just too busy counting Josh Allen's completions.
Yeah, I'll share the picture with you. But it was one of those, like, Brady got a few calls on Sunday. And so they took an awful
situation. You mean it was Sunday?
Yeah, it was Sunday. And so they took a bad situation and they turned it into funny and a positive. So
who is, like, King Bill's Mafia? Who organizes that?
I don't know.
Is there a prime minister of Bill's Mafia?
There's probably a couple of people who are leaders in the community. I don't know who they are exactly. But let's see what Eagleson says.
Pinto Ron.
Okay, you're going to need more information on that, Eagleson.
That's just not a real name.
Yeah, it's obviously not. And there's no play on Bills or Buffalo or Wings or literally anything. But a shout out Pinto Ron.
Why not name him just like
Bill Pinto Clinton? Bean. Yeah, I don't know. So we got to make some money this week because you're donating all yours to charity. The People's Pick'em is back, presented by Underdog Fantasy. Use code JACK, deposit match, Put down 25, you get an extra 25. So you could take this for 50, and you only had to put 25. It's really quite the offer for new members. If you're an existing member, you're just going to have to throw down your normal size and cash out with us. So without further ado.
I'm like itching for this, right? Last week was Vikings Steelers, and we recorded on Thursday, and I didn't drop till Friday.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, it's been
I'm having a little people's pick 'em withdrawal.
And it's been a while since we've hit, but we haven't been consistent. Like, this is back to what we do best. It's right. A primetime game. It's freaking Chargers Chiefs, and we're ready to roll. So Abe, deliver us your first selection.
First pick, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, over 66.5 rushing plus receiving yards. I feel like he's been getting involved in the offense a little bit more ever since he's been back. I like the Chargers in this game, right? So I think, I don't know how the two are necessarily correlated, but I'm going to try and put them together right now. So if I like the Chargers in this game, right, chances are they're doing a good job on defense. They're stopping the attack of Hill. They're stopping the attack of Kelsey. And they're doing a good job in coverage, and that leaves Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the flat, on a screen. You got the receiving right there, and you're going to have to run the ball. You know what they say. You got to establish the run. So 66.5 in this spot, where I think the Chiefs struggle, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a little bit of a shining spot. I like that line right there.
Yeah, the Chargers' run defense is definitely one of the weaker points on the team. So
yeah, isn't Bosa out maybe?
I'm not sure if he's out. He might just be playing video games, some Call of Duty. That seems to be his new obsession. But I like this selection. And something that I learned over the past week, because I heard it so many times, I'm like 99% sure at this point it's Helaire, which I disagree with personally.
Clyde Edwards, it is.
It's Helaire, yeah.
Yeah, and I've known that, but I'm still – it's like I was talking about this last night with my friend. It's like everyone knows damn well his name is Zion, but for whatever reason, people call him Zion.
Who? No, no one does.
Yeah.
No.
People call him Zion.
That is people I wouldn't want.
Because I was watching the absolute dog shit.
It's more like Tyrod. Like, everyone knows now that his name's Tyrod.
Or Darren versus Deron Williams. No, I was watching the absolute dog shit game that was the Knicks and Warriors last night. I was bored halfway through the second quarter after Steph broke the record. So I was like, you know what? Let's turn on some Zion college highlights because I'll never see that again. And it's like you got like all these college commentators calling him Zion Williamson. I was like, dude, that's not his name.
Okay, you're right. All right, my next pick, or my first pick, rather. Patrick Mahomes, you're going to have to go to the Rivals tab within Pick'em here, not the over-under. But Patrick Mahomes, minus 2.5 rush yards versus Justin Herbert. I think this is a bad line, personally. I know Herbert can move, but Patrick Mahomes runs way more than Justin Herbert, especially in a game like we're expecting on Thursday night. So This is my play. This is my hammer play. I'm going to use it for the people tomorrow night on the Snapback story as well. I think this is a surefire snack. And I felt that way about Cooper Kupp minus 3.5 receptions versus Odell on Monday night. That smashed. So when I see one I love, I like to attack it. And this one is, I'm in attack mode.
No, I kind of like that because, and I don't know their 40-yard dash times. And if you have them, keep them to yourself because, frankly, I don't give a shit. But put it this way, Jack. If we lined up Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes in one end zone and had them sprint to the other end zone, I would figure Mahomes would beat Herbert by at least 2.5 yards.
Mahomes kind of waddles. He's got that weird.
Yeah, but he looked like penguin waddles really fast. I feel like I've never seen Herbert move.
That's what I'm saying. In my head, it's like, when does he
he's got the highest or second highest QBR in the league. He just hangs back there and slings
it. He's a pocket passer. He's a traditional guy. He's a quarterback. So
there we go.
I'm going with Mahomes.
And Mahomes is a running back. But my second pick, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, is Tyreek Hill under 6.5 receptions. Nobody likes to bet unders, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone loves the big stars and taking their overs because they like to bet on what they like to root for. And you probably want to root for Tyreek Hill to go off, especially if you're in the fantasy playoffs with him on your team. And that's why we're going to take the under, because I know a lot of you are rooting for the over, and that never really happens like that. Like I said, I think the Chiefs come out struggling tomorrow night. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game, and I don't see Tyreek Hill getting 7 receptions. It's a lot of receptions. I get he's a top 5 whatever wide out in the league, but 7 receptions on any given week is a lot of receptions, especially in a divisional matchup, especially in a hard game on the road. I like this spot here.
Okay. I personally would have ridden like a Kelce. Ridden?
Road.
I think ridden might be right as well.
Spell it.
Ridden. R-I-D-D-E-N.
Yep, no.
I think I would have rode. I actually think I'm right, and you might be wrong. I know ridden's a word, but I'm not sure in this scenario I would have ridden. I would have rode.
Pretty sure it's rode.
What's ridden, Cho? What's the definition of ridden?
Maybe, actually.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Here's some words I don't know what they mean that I should. Rode is the simple past form. Ridden is the past
present
participle.
Yeah. I
What's
think
that mean?
I think I'm, you know, clearly we both have no clue, so this is what I'm going to take it as.
But you can't tell me what past participle means.
But what was the other one? What's road?
Road is in the simple past form.
Right. So I think once it happens, you're able to say I rode hill under. But when I'm speaking about it in the and it
I think you know what you're saying right now is just makes no sense, and you're really saying the same.
No, you get what I'm saying. Once
you're saying I would have, all right, so the game goes tomorrow.
Yes.
Tyreek Hill goes over.
Right.
We took the under, which won't happen. Do you say I would have rode Tyreek Hill over, or I would have ridden Tyreek Hill over? It's the same shit.
It is the same shit.
I have no idea what past.
What's Eagleson saying?
What?
Ride is the present simple. Road is the past simple. Ridden is the past participle.
Now what is past participle?
Yeah.
The form.
Read it out loud.
The form of a verb typically ending in ed in English, which is used in forming perfect and passive tenses, and sometimes as an adjective. I have no idea.
Yeah, I actually don't know. I don't know who I would contact. If I were to compose a tweet to figure it out, I don't even know how I would compose the tweet. But we'll work on that after the show.
Okay.
All right.
But Tyreek Hill under.
Yeah. I would have ridden or rode Kelce's unders, given that he's been less effective. But I agree with you. 6.5 receptions to get to 7. That's a decent bit. The fourth and final pick, I'm going with Mike Williams under 66.5 receiving yards. Mike Williams was on fire to start the year. He was wide receiver 1 or 2 with Cooper Kupp for the first 6 weeks of the year. He's definitely calmed down. He had 100-plus yard game in his past few. And even last week with Keenan Allen out, he didn't even go off. So I think this is a really, really high line, especially against the Chiefs defense. I'll say it. They're playing good football, led by Daniel Sorensen. So
they're injured and they're COVID.
I just think
they have three key starters, including Chris Jones, that are out.
Oh, Chris Jones is out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I love the Chargers because when he came back, that's when their turnaround. And I don't give anyone enough credit. Like, I would never give him all the credit for that. But apparently, when he's inverse out, the splits are like insanity. So something like to Joel look into. Does. Something.
Oh, I lied. Oh wait, no. Yeah, he's out. Okay. They will be without Legarius Sneed. Mm-hmm. That's out.
That's a corner.
Willie Gay.
Okay.
And the Chiefs do not believe Chris Jones because of COVID will be able to play.
Okay. So that might change things in terms of my game prediction, which if you want to talk about real quickly, I'll say with Chris Jones out on a short week, COVID problems. You saw what happened, you know, recently when teams play big games and then they go on the road on a short week, the players say it. The players literally complain about it. They're like, this is tough. This is a really, really quick turnaround. I know it's a major game, so you have to imagine the Chiefs are going to be up for it. Can the Chargers really stand? Like, if the Chargers win this game, they're tied up at the top of the division, and the Chargers hold both games over the Chiefs, which gives them the tiebreaker. This is a major game, Abe. Who do you like?
I mean, like, I like the Chiefs every single week.
Right.
If you took every individual game on a week-to-week basis of what my predictions with the Chiefs would be, they would go 17-0.
Right.
I never pick against them. But you have the hottest team in football, the Chiefs winning 6 in a row. Sorry, Eagleson. maybe, okay, yeah, the hottest team, because the Dolphins have won 5. On a short week against a team that's very familiar with them, they're shorthanded, they're going on the road, they just absolutely throttled the Raiders. I want to still say the Chiefs, because I know that you and I are going to end up maybe investing in the Chargers tomorrow night. So I don't want to give the old ESPN 4 for 4, people pick the same teams, they obviously lose. I just think that this is, you know what, I'm not going to pick the Chargers. I'm just going to go ahead and say this is a tough game for the Chiefs to win.
It's a schedule loss. I'll just call it that. And we see these things happen in the NBA all the time. There's schedule losses. And in the NFL, if you get caught on a short week against a good, like, let's not discount, like, if the Chargers win this game, they're a legitimate team that the Ravens blew out. Sorry. So I think the Chargers can win this game, but we shall see. It is
a hard game for the Chiefs to win tomorrow.
Yeah, it's definitely.
It is easier for the Chargers to win than it is the Chiefs, but Vegas doesn't appear to think so.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get into the rest of our week 15, 16, 17, 18, 4 weeks to go preview, let's just briefly talk about COVID just dominating the NFL.
Just going. I mean, I want the Will over. Chamberlain, I want numbers.
I want the over on underdog for this. I'm
not even the NFL, the NBA too.
Yeah, the NBA is not looking
like
good.
You realize that Christmas basketball next week is going to suck. Like Harden's in protocols, Giannis is in protocols.
The
I don't
Knicks
know
are
if they're
playing.
Be...
Yeah, it's
going to who do the Knicks play?
The Hawks.
Oh,
Trey's return to the Garden.
You going?
No, I'll be down in Florida.
Yeah. But no, COVID is running absolutely rampant. And for those of you who are saying, dude, what if they shut down sports again? They won't.
You don't think so?
No shot. No shot they just shut down sports. They've lost enough money during the time where they did shut down sports.
Hold, please.
Oh, shit.
Hypothetically, like a four-month pause on this season.
NFL or NBA?
It would literally bring the Ravens back to life. We'd be fucking lit. We'd have like
we'd be pretty good too.
Yeah, we'd have our whole damn squad. We'd be leading
Eagles
the division.
Would be pretty good too.
We'd have 3 of 4 at home. I mean, I'm just saying, Roger, stop thinking about the money. Think about the safety of your people. Let's just push it off until the weather is warmer. I'm just saying.
Imagine you get spring football where you can wear shorts and a t-shirt at the bank for Ravens playoffs.
Is there
anything you'd want more in life?
Peters, Humphrey, Stanley, Boyle. Oh my goodness, it would be incredible. Just something to think about, Roger. Let's get into Saturday football first, because we have our first Saturday NFL of the year. Raiders Browns, this is a game that people are saying may need to be postponed. The Browns have, I believe, 18 people on the COVID list. They were 4-point favorites when the line opened. They're now 1.5-point underdogs at home with a chance to take the divisional lead. And part of that is because Baker Mayfield looks like he's going to be out. Let's just be clear about something. Baker Mayfield to Case Keenum, I don't think changes the line. If it does, it's 0.5 point. You used to be in that business. It can't be a full point, right? There's no difference in those two at this point right now.
I actually think Vegas might be a Ravens fan. They're trying to reflect the line that Baker Mayfield has that much of an impact on the team so that the Browns will inevitably pay.
Yes, I could not
so
agree.
So I guess Baker Mayfield is worth 3 points. But
three? It might, it's 5.5. It's
whatever.
Smart.
It might shock you to believe. I think the Browns win this game.
Oh, I totally agree. Well,
I think the Browns win this game.
This is one of
those. Remember, people forget. The Browns won a playoff game without Kevin Stefanski coaching. Kevin Stefanski has COVID, might not be coaching. I'm a man of trends. That's all I can say. The Browns are better without Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, and I do believe the Raiders played the Dolphins in the same spot Saturday night with a couple weeks ago last year. It's when they, you know, went to the bullpen late, brought in Fitzmagic and won the game. So people are saying Case Keenum, you know, the quarterbacks have had success as
wait,
backup.
You guys lost to the Dolphins 2 years in a row?
The Raiders. Oh, Raiders. Wow. Come on. Let's not be ridiculous here.
But listen, the Browns are undefeated as Kevin Stefanski as their head coach when he's not their head coach.
It's similar to Bo Nix. He's undefeated against Nick Saban. He beat him his first year. Saban was out with COVID when Auburn lost to Alabama. And then Nix was out this season, undefeated against Saban.
Simple math.
I actually don't know if any quarterbacks in the country can say they're undefeated against Nick Saban ever, besides Bo Nix.
Probably not.
Next game on Saturday night. This will be fun because I am the leader of the fraudulent cutie Patriots bandwagon. And I am also a proponent of the Wentz Colts. They get a chance. They get a chance as 2.5-point favorites on Saturday night in prime time. Carson Wentz versus Bill Belichick sounds like one of the bigger mismatches in NFL history. What do you think? Can the Colts win this game?
This sucks, man. This sucks. Like, the Patriots have been one of the more hyped teams in the last month and a half. Like, they're clicking. They beat the Bills. Who else? They just beat somebody. I don't know. But everyone's on the Patriots. They're second favorites to go to the Super Bowl in the AFC behind the Chiefs.
Crazy.
And somehow they're 2.5 points against a team that nobody's talking about in the Indianapolis Colts. 2.5-point underdogs.
I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's just like looking me in the face and telling me, Abe, you're not going to like it, but the Colts are probably going to win this game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe big. I don't know. I've come around on the Patriots. I'm not going to lie. I think their defense is so good this year. They're playing so well that, you know, you can stop Taylor a little bit, make Wentz a passer, and there's a path to victory. I just don't see the Patriots offense being... Once again, they're going to fall behind in a game this year. And is Mac Jones going to be able to bring them back? I don't know.
The Patriots, to me, are kind of like the Warriors, right? I'm watching this. Hear me out.
What? Me out. Oh, like this year's Warriors.
Yeah, this year's Warriors and this year's Patriots. Yeah. Hear me out. Because I'm watching this Knicks-Warriors game last night. I'm just, granted, the Knicks suck, so take it with a grain of salt. But the way the Warriors are moving the ball on offense, everyone's sliding into their positions. Nobody's clammed up together. They're getting easy layups, cutting towards the rim. And they're just playing great sport team basketball without good players on their team. You know what I mean? Like, they have some good players here. They have one,
good players.
They have one good, they have one good player on their team.
Draymond, I get what you're saying. Everyone plays their role to the max. I think that's the takeaway. And
I'm not going to say they're well coached because I still refuse to admit that Steve Kerr is like a great coach.
Yeah, he's an interesting coach. I like that comparison. I'll even say the Patriots are a little bit like 2018 Ravens, where they have a string of like incredible hotness where you don't fall behind, where you play sound defense, where you run the ball and you make plays in the pass game at timely times. But we saw what happened when the Ravens fell behind to the Titans. It was just a disaster. And that's actually how I picture this Patriots team. So I actually don't want to say they're going to lose to the Colts. I think there's they have a great chance in every game they play because of the way they play. What happens is, can they win 3 or 4 in a row in the playoffs? I am very adamant that the case is no. So I don't know who wins that game Saturday night.
I like the Colts in this game, and it really, really pains me to see.
Yeah, that's how much he must like the Colts, if he's willing to say it on the airwaves. Another huge game pivoting off of Colts is Titans-Steelers. Titans have the divisional lead by one game. Colts
love,
are right there.
Love, love, love the Titans in this spot.
Really?
Absolutely love the Titans in this spot.
Explain. Like I said, I want to check the line.
It's like... very simple. Watching Ben Roethlisberger play football is a chore. He is miserable. And hey, you're the one who said it. Mike Tomlin, overrated coach. You said it, not me.
He's a two-point dog at home, though.
Exactly. Exactly. The Titans suck, too.
I know.
And the Titans are favored on the road against a historically great team. The Steelers usually get respect around the league. Like, the Titans are going to win this game. 0.00000 chance the Steelers win this
game. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yep. You hate Ben more than I do.
I don't hate Ben. I just have like eyeballs. Eyes.
Yeah. Shout out to myself, by the way, because on Monday's pod, I red alerted the Rams. That's 2-0. I might have a new thing cooking here.
You're not a 0.0 guy anymore?
I don't know. The 0.0 is for special occasions. The red alert is like empty your bank account till it's in the red. That's what that's based off of.
Okay.
I don't know if I have a red alert on this game or in this whole weekend, but if I get one, fam, I'll let you guys know. Last game of week 15, is Packers-Ravens.
You're going to get smacked.
Ravens signed Josh Johnson off the Jets practice squad, which would indicate one thing.
Josh Johnson. What's his name?
Josh Johnson.
He played better football for the Jets this year than Zach Wilson did. If that's any sign of encouragement for you, there you go.
Well, he's not going to be the starter. T. Hunt will be the starter, who's been great in his in Lamar's absence. It does appear because of that signing, Lamar's going to be out for this week. And I think it's the right thing to do. The Ravens...
lose with Lamar. You're going to get smacked without him.
Yeah, the Ravens are playing with house money in this game. They're going to lose the game. It'll be the first game I pick the opposing team against us all season. That's how down bad the Ravens are. But it's not a game that really matters to Baltimore. There's two games left on the schedule that matter. They need to beat Cincinnati and they need to beat Pittsburgh in week 18. If they get to 10-7, they should be clean on the tiebreakers. And honestly, I don't know if anyone else gets to 10 if the Browns lose on Saturday. So
no, didn't you not hear the Dolphins are going to win 10 games this year?
Yeah, I'm talking division. I would not want to be in a wild card race with Miami. I mean,
neither would I.
That's a dangerous team.
They've won 5 in a row.
Have tiebreakers over the Ravens.
And they have tiebreakers. And they're playing Taysom Hill. They're playing Ryan Tannehill without Henry.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be a Dolphins
team. It really is. Timing is nice. Well, we're going to take a quick break. After the break, Steph Curry breaks the record. Kevin Durant becomes the GOAT. We'll tell you why. National Signing Day. Craziness, and we hear from Eagle Man. We'll be right back.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, fam, we are back. Stephen Curry, the all-time leader in three-pointers made. He made 5 last night, I believe, against your New York Knicks. He was horrible in the game. The game was terrible. But the moment was really cool, and we discussed this a couple, 10 days ago-ish, a few podcasts ago, and we were like, we didn't quite get all the hype behind it, and then we debated if it happened to be in MSG, what the ticket price would be. My seats, I probably should have sold. They were going for like $1,000. The get-in price was $550. It was pretty nuts.
And like, there's no way it would have been that big of a deal had he done it in Indiana.
No.
Because the game wouldn't have been on national television. No, wouldn't have all the commercials. Reggie Miller, and everything.
TNT. Yeah, it really fell into
his lap. It was a perfect storm.
Yeah, it was the perfect storm. And, you know, special things happen inside of that arena. Unfortunately, none of them for the home team, but special things happen nonetheless.
Stephen A. actually had a good comparison today. I don't know if you've heard. He has said that the Knicks are the carpet that you walk into before you enter a beautiful home.
Mm.
And everyone just wipes their feet on the carpet and then enters the beautiful home that is the garden.
I like that.
Everyone has their big moments in the garden. You've got LeBron's 54, Steph's 50, Reggie Miller's X amount in 38 points in 30 seconds. You've got Jordan.
Zeke Najee's 21 points, career high. Everything.
Jordan with 55. Like,
yeah.
And I kind of like that analogy.
I would have given us a little more class, like we're the red carpet that gets stepped on, like all the stars utilize it to get to, you know, the main event. But I get where he's coming from. We're a joke. Stephen Curry is not. What an incredible feat. I don't really have much more to say than it was a really cool experience, and I'm glad that the record's over with so that my Warriors can win it all.
Okay.
I picked them last year. It was a COVID year. You know how
didn't make the playoffs. Part of me was like mad that it got out of the way so early and that he only needed two. Like I wanted like a close, like he needed like seven. And he's just chucking the entire game.
Seven last game, and it just wasn't falling for him. He's been forcing it. That's what happened against Philly. That's what happened games after that. So it was nice to see. It was pretty funny in the arena, I'm not going to lie. Every possession, there were probably like 10 or 12. When the Warriors had the ball, everyone would stand up, pull out their phones, start recording. When they would miss a shot or score, everyone would sit back down. And on repeat, there was only one possession where I think we turned the ball over and it was like a quick change and everyone like leapt up and he didn't end up shooting the three, but the three hit was like pretty insane. It was not an easy shot.
And first, who Steph is, I didn't think he would have the reaction that he did. Yeah. He was hype as shit.
Dude, did you see he was crying?
That's another thing I wanted to say. I don't give a shit about the Warriors. I've grown to like Steph because how could you not? Yeah. I hate the Knicks. And the way they did everything, the way the crowd was into it, the commercials and everything, I didn't cry. But I genuinely felt a little something in my stomach. Like it was, and I was talking about the other day how I don't care about the all-time threes record. But I think that the fact that it was at the Garden and they made such a big deal out of it is what made it that special.
Yeah, they played some epic music in the arena, which made it like feel special. He went over.
Did they do a bing bong when he made it?
No, they didn't bing bong it. But he handed the ball to his dad, right? That was a cool moment. It was a little awkward because Aisha was there. So,
dude, they put her in the stands.
They put her in the stands. You know what's crazy? The two people next to Aisha, literally one, two, my two former coworkers from Whistle. And it was her birthday and her boyfriend.
She already bounced back and has a boyfriend, Aisha?
No. My coworker's boyfriend.
Oh, because I saw a meme that was like Steph hugging, not Aisha, Sonya Curry, his mom. Sorry.
Sonya
Curry.
But,
and the meme said, please just stay away from Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
Who was courtside.
Yeah. And so they're in the video on TNT when it pans to her in the crowd. And then Drake posts the picture, like just a screenshot, and they're in it too. And it was just funny. Like they're like viral without anyone besides me probably caring about them. But shout out to Steph.
I care.
You care? I'll let them know. Steph Curry is the best shooter ever. Kevin Durant is the best Twitter shooter ever. Holy shit. What a 24 hours for Kevin Durant. First up, can you pull up the tweet? Pull up the tweet. I'll explain the other one. Pull up the tweet. You know where to find it. Go to Skip Bayless's account. Go to Kevin Durant's account. But before we get to that one, when Steph made the three, post-game, he gave Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala, two players that have been with him for the prime of his career.
Two people that had the most amount of assists to him. Draymond with 479 and Iguodala with 168.
Yes. And so he gave them engraved Rolexes to honor the moment. And KD saw the graphic on Twitter, quote tweeted it and said, bring me my Rolly. Just epic stuff. But that was not his best tweet in 24 hours.
Skip Bayless actually like genuinely tweeted something really nice for the first time.
But it wasn't genuine because it's a shot at LeBron.
True.
You know he does that.
The best player, Skip Bayless tweeted, the best player on the planet was at it again tonight in Brooklyn, going assassin in overtime for the COVID Rock Nets. Nothing like Kevin Durant. You watch, come up, Bron, when Kevin Durant had like 38, 13, and 11, and he was playing with like five rookies, to which Kevin Durant quote tweeted it and just, as honest as they come, I really don't like you. Actually, you tweeted some real mean shit to me today. I should have just quote tweeted it and said, I really don't like you. the dumbest person you know.
Shit was so epic. Kevin Durant is just, he's unbelievable. And so it's funny. I've been talking about Snapback Sports and the whole goal of it was to connect with the audience and talk back with fans. And how social media has really strayed from that. It just gives LeBron a bigger platform, and all these superstars just have, you know, we see them on TV, then we see them on social, then we see them wherever. Kevin Durant does social media the best. He does it right, and I respect and appreciate that for him.
That's because Joel Embiid retired from Twitter a long time
ago. Yeah, why did he do that? People. Why did he do that?
I'm going to get mature.
Fuck that.
Just go back to calling Hassan Whiteside soft like we all enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. National Signing Day today, Abe. I know you might not have cared because you don't have the number one perfect quarterback recruit in the country.
We do have Drew Aller, the future.
Who's that?
Future.
He's not Quinn Ewers, though. He's not that type of future. You're talking like the future, like tomorrow future. I'm talking like championship future.
Championship what?
Big 12 championship. Let's start there. But National Signing Day, and the
let's start with the bowl game.
And the crazy news is that the number one recruit in the country, who was locked into Florida State, flipped. Texas people are calling it flip miss. Sark is Santa on flip miss because he just flips everyone over to the horns. But flip miss, the number one recruit in the country, spurns Florida State and goes to Deion Sanders, Jackson State.
Spurns.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's an HBCU, and holy shit, that is, I'm so excited. I think that's the coolest thing for the little guy to get the number one recruit in the country. I mean, it's
right. The little guy gets the number one recruit, and now the big guys who have been paying their players since before it was allowed are claiming that college football integrity and the transfer portal are ruining everything. Like, college football now has free agency.
Right.
Newsflash, Dabo Sweeney and others, it's had free agency. You guys were just the only ones that could do it.
Right, right. Yeah. Fuck the big corps. Screw them. The little guy is on a level playing field. Now, to be fair, what's going to happen is schools like Texas, who have the utmost amount of revenue, as you know if you listen to the podcast, will be able to dish out quite the large sums of money to recruit players away from those smaller schools. But
I just said that free agency thing, and I've seen it all over, but I don't like, can colleges now, can Texas literally go to somebody and say, here's $5 million, come play for us?
Yes. Yeah,
so, or is it like in the form of like sponsorships and autograph deals? So how does it work?
Yeah. So my understanding was you would have at least had to fake it, meaning you could get a booster to pay via his company, his or her company,
An NIL deal,
an appearance fee. We could even say, hey, we want you to come speak to the company. We're going to pay you $5 million. I at least thought they would try and fake it. And this is what Rovell went on a rampage last week against, because he's like, the NIL's horrible. They're not doing it. Texas has created a fund that literally just pays scholarship O linemen $50,000 a year. Maybe $150,000. I don't even know what the number is.
And to do what?
To play for the team.
To block.
To play for the team. Like, they don't even have to do any of the commitments outside. So I do think we are now headed into a real... I was all for it. And if they even want to fake that I'm paying you $5 million for your autograph, like, at least have to fake it. Now that the schools can do it, it is a little weird to me.
I kind of like the fact that they don't fake it. Like, I think it's way funnier. Just, yeah. And all these guys are getting so mad.
But then
mad,
it's not just NIL. I think that's Ravel's point.
It's free agency.
Yeah, it's just call it what it is. It's pay to play. Like, some schools can pay and some can't. What is interesting and what will be curious in the future is, like, the NIL deals that went around this year, Derek King, DJ, Rattler, Sam Howell. Like, it's guys who just absolutely botched and were bust. So are people going to be willing to pay the initial rates? We'll see. But shout out to Deion. That's an incredible get and truly, truly an awesome moment for them. And I'm excited to see what comes from it. With that being said, an awful moment to come. We have to listen to hockey for 60 full seconds. So, Eagleson, I think we should just get this over with. Where are you at, buddy?
We're not doing like that pre, we ask him a few questions bullshit. Yeah. Jack, I need you to run the clock tonight because my phone's charging.
Gotcha. Okay.
Don't say a word, Eagleson. You literally only get a minute tonight.
Wow. You're really? Okay. All right. One singular minute.
Once the Jets beat the Dolphins, I'll give you an extra 30 seconds next week.
Look how clean this is. So it's on my face and then, oh, it's beautiful. All right, 3, 2, 1.
All right, so the Leafs worked the Oilers a couple nights ago, 5-1, handing the Oilers their 6th straight loss. McPylon was nowhere to be seen all night, except for when he was lacking defensively. He threw up all zeros on the stat sheet, except for a nice -2 rating. It's become clear for this Oilers team that when McDavid or Draisaitl don't do quite literally everything, they suck. Auston Matthews also scored his 20th goal of the year in that game, which ties him with Ovi for 2nd in the league in goal scoring, so keep an eye out for that, as I predicted him to win the Rocket at the beginning of the year. Now, COVID, of course, is back in the NHL. All sorts of games have been getting postponed, guys getting put on the COVID list, and now the Ontario government is bringing things back down to 50% capacity at all sporting events, so that's that includes the Leafs, the Ottawa Senators, as well as the Toronto Raptors. Ontario is the first place to kind of restart the whole COVID restriction thing, so hopefully this doesn't snowball and we have to do this whole thing again. Also, the Flyers dropped 6 goals on New Jersey the other night, which I don't think they've done all year, so good for you, Philly. Nick Backstrom is returning.
Is he about to say Knicks basketball?
What, did we turn this into from What the Puck to What the Politics today?
Wait, okay, Abe. The two things I saw your
What's
facial reaction.
What's McPylon? I don't get
okay,
it.
Okay, so that, and then do you know what the Rocket is?
I assume it's the leading goal scorer.
The Rocket Richard Trophy, right, Eagleson? Okay.
How the fuck do you know that?
I know shit. This is my J-O-B. This is my J-O-B. I need to fake no hockey, thanks. The McPylon, I'm curious your take, Abe. Mine is he's referencing that he is like a pylon who stands still on defense and people like run around him or skate around him.
And what the hell is a pylon other than the NFL thing that people die for?
No, that's what it is. That's
so how does that have any correlation to defense?
Because pylons don't move. That's like the point. Is you run around them.
They don't move on offense either, also.
I think you're missing the point here, Abe.
Yeah, I think you are.
Are you just trying to tell me he doesn't play defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's a pylon. He sits there.
Why don't you just call him McKemba then?
That is also
Kemba
a great
can't
name.
Score either.
McFournier.
All right, that was pretty solid.
I feel
hockey.
Like that's a reach.
What?
Like is pylon like
that's a
thing
like,
in hockey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Oh, like that guy, he's a friggin' pylon. Like he can't do anything on defense.
Pylon?
I actually don't think that's the word in America, but now I can't think of what the word is.
We say that all the time here. That's very
There is another object that people say he's a something on defense, but it's not coming to me right
like
now.
Same
oh here
like same type of thing.
Same exact reference and analogy, but it's a different object.
I have a question before we go. I have a question for Eagleson. Mm-hmm. This is going back to my work holiday party. One of the trivia questions, it was holiday related. Eagleson specifically, and then Jack, I'll get your answer. How long do you think it would take in minutes, hours, whatever metric you want to use to build a stable, full structured, 6 foot tall snowman?
What do you mean? How much snow?
How much time would it take?
And I just have like an open field full of snow.
Yeah, you're
by
open
yourself.
Field. Okay, just answer the question. Like, there was no specifics by yourself. Sure, by yourself.
Like, all right, just to clarify, because I don't think this is really the theme of the question. You're not referring to like how much snow, like how much time would it take?
How much time would it take to build a snowman?
Assuming all the snow is there.
Yes, okay. Start to finish. You're in a field full of 10 inches of snow.
Okay.
How much time do you think it would take, Eagleson?
Like, probably 45 minutes.
Jack?
Yeah, I would say like by myself, 2 hours.
Perfect. Perfect answers. So I'm in this group. It's 5 of us, and we're all discussing. And I said an hour. Somebody said 2 hours. Somebody said an hour and a half. And then one person chimes in. And because it was like a family feud thing. So it's surveying Americans.
Right.
And she goes, wait, we're surveying Americans, right? And we go, yeah. And she goes, oh, so you're probably right. We're like, what? She goes, well, I'm Canadian. And I wrote down 30 minutes. Like thinking that you guys are like the snowman goats.
It's funny. I actually kind of agree. Like I haven't built a snowman since I was five, if I've ever built one. We're lazy Americans. That's totally a thing.
No, we build snowballs and beat each other. We're men.
Right. Hence why men. I don't know. What was the most popular response?
I think the if you surveyed 100 Americans, I think that if I remember that the it was like an hour and 15 minutes, maybe hour and a half.
Yeah.
I don't know. I said an hour.
All
right. That just validates the data that I collected that Canadians think
they
can build snowmen.
Eagleson, weren't you collecting some data?
Yeah. I got a 90 on that. So thank you, Snapback fam.
A++.
Yeah. I was just 90%. That's all that I...
Is it almost report card season? Mark season?
Yes, actually. Midterms. Midterms are soon. I think tomorrow, actually. Teacher was saying something about it today.
Wait, time out. You think the midterms are tomorrow or you get your grades?
Like the midterm marks.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Marks. Sorry.
Grades.
Marks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Eagleson, any final thoughts?
If you think the Jets are going to win, that's just wrong.
0.0. There's
that's
you're going to need more
There's,
zeros.
0.00000000%.
Too many zeros.
Nope.
Now you just sound a little cocky.
Now you just sound like an asshole.
So when you 0.0, there needs to be an if and statement. If the Jets do win, even though they won't because 0% chance, you will.
I'll see how long it takes me to build a 6-foot-tall snowman.
Bang.
Perfect. All right. Let's go. JETS. Eve, any final thoughts?
I'm literally praying for the Jets to win. Praying for the Jets to win now. As if I wasn't before, I need that content.
Oh, that's pure. All right, fam. Have an incredible weekend. Let's cash the People's Pick'em on Underdog.
Come on.
Let's stay safe out there. Much love. Peace.